It's us. It's we.
We are here.
We back.
Here we are.
We're These Are Bad Movies.
And I'm Amy Bell.
And I'm Amanda Ferriante.
Very good.
We did it.
We're kind of getting back in the hang of this.
We can wrap up now.
You know, I'm still mad about classic rock.
Let's move past that. So, I'm excited to watch Saltburn.
And I am indifferent to watch Saltburn.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Okay, I've only seen the trailer, and I know people have been talking about it. And I know they've been talking about it in, like, feminist circles or whatever. And I haven't bothered engaging with that, but I watched the trailer and went, actually, yes, please. Thank you very much, Mommy.
I have forgotten the trailer already. And I've kind of been seeing mixed feelings about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hot and cold. Like, love it. It's all wrong.
Okay.
Like,
I can love things for the wrong reasons, too.
Yes, we do like bad things.
Yes.
We've established that multiple times on this podcast.
I honestly have no way of guaranteeing whether this is a bad or a good. All I know is I want to see it.
Okay.
And it could be bad, so why not?
Okay.
But I had to look up the name. Rosamund Pike is in it, and she's the Netflix movie I Care a Lot. I didn't care about that movie, but she's
I haven't heard of the movie.
You've watched it in front of me. I was like, I guess Amy wants to see this. This was a while ago, but she was Gone Girl.
Didn't see that.
I haven't seen it either. I didn't care. But she played Jane in Pride and Prejudice, which I did see.
Didn't see that.
With Keira Knightley.
Oh, and maybe I did.
And her Jane is just a lovable airhead, but, like, so sweet and kind. And then she's been playing, like, Gone Girls and, like, fraudsters and murderers and stuff. But this is, like, a stone-cold matriarch, from what I could tell of the trailer. And I'm like, yes. And then the rest of it. Yes, it's like your dark gothic twisted romance, but gay, and so I want to see it.
And you know, I divined none of that from anything.
See, like no impression.
No impression. There's a bathtub. That's the impression.
Oh, see, I don't even remember the bathtub.
All I remember is a bathtub.
I'm specifically picturing the scene where, like, the lover boy who's all like, what, you think I'm pretty when I take my glasses off, is like at the rich people's house, and Rosamund Pike is up there and like clearly in charge, and she's like, oh, Johnny or whatever her kid's name is, you really brought a special one home this time, his eyes, like fully getting the love interest treatment of, like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I do not.
Let me appraise you.
Okay.
No, yeah, that's, you didn't care for Pride and Prejudice.
No, I didn't.
So in the movie, when Miss Pride, I can't remember, Elizabeth Bennet, like, meets Lady Wickersham, who's, like, the bad lady who's real mean and has opinions about who marries who, Lady Wickersham is like, turn around so I may appraise you, and has her, Elizabeth, just do a little spin, like, let me look at your assets. And it's that movie moment, but it's a dude this time.
So if I had been aware in advance that this was some sort of Pride and Prejudice thing,
I don't know that it's a Pride and Prejudice thing. I'm just seeing the connections, because that's the only movie I've actually seen that I've cared about.
And I, like, I have emotions of the negative variety that I just wasn't prepared to articulate.
Perfect.
About Pride and Prejudice.
No, but we're not watching Pride and Prejudice. We're watching this other thing.
So, like, I'm just a general, like, I almost have a pre-Ubrick of,
No, this is like if Dracula admitted that Dracula was gay. It's Byronic. Lord Byron, the first and ultimate edgelord. Like, it's like that kind of vibe is what I'm getting off of it.
Okay. Maybe I can handle Byronic.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I just saw the trailer and went, yes.
And I saw the trailer and immediately forgot it. Like, that's apparently so many movies.
Well, you know, I love subjecting people to things, so this will be great.
I know.
Let's watch it.
Okay. All right, we're back.
We are back.
We watched it.
Yes, we did.
And, okay, before we go any further, I want to say how much fun the movie was for not having any real concept of what I was going to watch.
Right?
So I just want to say, if you haven't seen it already, you should stop.
Really?
You should stop listening and go watch it.
Wow.
Because I don't think the movie is as fun.
If you know.
If you know in advance what's about to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll wait. Go ahead and watch it.
Spoilers.
Yeah. I'm even going to play him some more doodly-doos. All right. You're back.
You're back.
You watched it.
Hey, you saw some wild stuff, huh? Stupid movie.
That was not remotely what I thought I was going to be watching.
I thought there would be gratuity. But more vanilla.
and maybe a little bit more sexy.
Yeah, it was just funny.
Yeah, it was kind of grotesque.
Some people do be horny, though.
Yeah, but...
I read a review that said, oh, this will do well on Tumblr.
I read a review that said, good to the last drop with a bathtub emoji.
I read a review that said that boys should be sterilized. So, anyhow, should we do the plot?
Yeah. I think we should do the plot.
Okay.
Again, if you didn't watch it, the movie's definitely going to be more fun.
It turns at the bathtub, right? Like, that's the hard turn.
Was it?
I think so. That's certainly the moment I noticed you go, wait a minute.
No, I wasn't going, wait a minute. I was going, ew.
Yeah. It was more engagement than there had been previously. Anywho, so, pretty boy Oliver goes to Oxford University, which is basically Hogwarts, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. It's
Oxford University.
Yeah, but as someone who grew up on Hogwarts.
Okay.
It's Hogwarts.
Okay.
Right?
It's Oxford, but okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Oxford was Hogwarts before Hogwarts, but now, for the younger generation, Oxford is Hogwarts.
Okay.
I digress. Also, this movie did not believe in overhead lighting whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. And I did read reviews, too, that stated there was so much mumbling they had to turn on subtitles, which that's a new one for me to have to turn on subtitles. But we did.
We did. A lot of rewind. I didn't understand that. Rewind. I didn't understand.
Yeah,
that.
We watched the same line 3 times in a row, and then turned subtitles on.
And then it was...
And then still didn't understand.
No, because we didn't get the reference.
Yeah.
The line was an author's name, and we were like, never heard of him.
It's the writer of Brideshead Revisited.
Okay.
Which a lot of people called the movie derivative of Brideshead Revisited.
I did see that listed in Wikipedia. But, okay, so Bella Swan Oliver shows up at Oxford, and he's just so shy and so... poor and sad, and this hot guy,
kind of an awkward ass too.
Yeah, he just goes, he flits.
Yeah,
but also the guy who, like, his feelings he hurt was a little psycho,
I guess.
I maybe wouldn't want if it had to spend extended periods of time with the guy who shouted me down at first meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So in his school experience, there's some sort of weird, like, small group tutoring mentor bizarre thing where it was basically two students and a teacher moderating the two students arguing.
Yeah. It was just like, privilege. Sure does suck. Example.
Yeah.
Because I'm smart and here on merit, but this guy over here doesn't even read. But now the teacher's interested in him because the teacher was obsessed with his mom because they went to school together. Legacy. Okay.
Yes.
So, anywho, there's a lot of partying, social, whatever. It's the movie's too long.
And it's 2000s era, so it's got kind of good solid millennial nostalgia soundtrack going.
Well, and there was an old cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the olden times. But anyway, the movie's too long. We spend way too much time at Oxford. Like 6 months of movie time at Oxford. We didn't need it. But then poor Oliver Swan's dad dies, and he didn't like his dad anyway because his dad did drugs and was mean.
Or drunk.
Something. He did things.
Well, and he's growing an obsession with Rich Boy Felix.
Yes, Rich Boy Felix.
And Rich Boy Felix, like, he ingratiates himself to Rich Boy Felix because he comes upon Rich Boy Felix with a flat bike tire.
And saves him by giving him his bike.
Yeah, to bike to class?
To his useless tutoring session that he was already late to. Because he also skipped the one last week.
Ah.
Yes. So the thing that didn't seem that important to him anyway.
And it might still be class?
I don't know.
I don't know how the British people
but
do
But they
things.
Weren't at college anymore at that point. Because locations... I don't know him. Anywho.
No, Oxford's big.
Okay. I don't know. It's Hogwarts for all I know. Like, I don't know.
I've noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. The place looks like Hogwarts. Okay. Yeah. I guess the Europeans just live like that.
They did do a very Hogwartsy dining hall experience.
No thing. Overhead lighting throughout.
Yeah.
Very pretty movie.
Yes.
Very pretty.
Anywho. Oliver and Felix start, you know...
Bonding. Smoking topless around each other.
And Felix is kind of enamored with Oliver's poverty and tragic circumstance.
He's so brave.
Yeah.
He's so strong.
And the way they portrayed them, like, I guess what they were trying to get at was that there was no air conditioning in their dormitories because of wood.
You don't want to ruin the old Hogwarts
and,
wood.
But it came off as, like, an after-sex cigarette.
There's a lot of close-up of, like, sparkly, dewy, sweaty skin throughout.
But I think... Upon getting through the movie, they weren't lovers.
At that point, if ever.
Yeah.
Although maybe teasing happened. There was definitely a knee touch early on.
And there was... And a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah. Like, there was some, like, keeping someone on the string.
It seemed like they were just going to kind of very openly... engage in a flirtatious relationship that built to something more. And it did give off very, oh, it's Pride and Prejudice, but annoying vibes for quite a while.
Pride and Prejudice is annoying to many people. So just say Pride and Prejudice.
It added an element of extra annoying. And you already discussed how we weren't going to make me discuss my feelings on Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Like, no. No. Anywho, Felix invites Oscar to come
back. It's Oliver Swan.
Oliver. Oscar.
Oliver.
The man. Oh, boy.
The one who takes his glasses off and suddenly he's stunning.
I never found the man attractive.
I like his nose. He's got a round nose.
Yeah.
It's unique.
Yeah.
And the dude was jacked.
Yeah, no, he was okay. But, you know, not to the degree that the people in the film seem to think he was.
The film, it felt like I was being gaslight. It's like, is he attractive? They think he's attractive. Has he gotten more attractive as I've watched this? What is this?
Yes. So he goes to spend the summer at this lavish country estate.
With his
aristocratic old world manor.
With Felix, his one true love and affection and heart's desire, and Felix's cousin, Trolley?
Furley.
Furley. Furley.
Good old cousin Trolley.
Furley, who hates Oliver because he's poor.
And seems bitter about a lot of his circumstance.
Yes.
And they proceed to, like, piss off for the entire summer.
It's a lot of, hey, we might as well be naked. We're rich. Who cares?
Yeah. Like, this is the naked field.
In this field, we're naked.
Yeah, and reading.
Because that's what you do when you're naked in a field with, I think, his sister? And
yeah, definitely his sister.
But also, and, like, the incest thing. Like, he did, you know, have relationships with his cousin by accident one time at a party. Like,
yeah. And that scene was definitely the meme where, like, the influencer is like, look at this field. And the response is, what, did a tick write this?
What? Is there a secret genre of tick POV memes that I'm not privy to? What?
Well, just that whole, like, look at this pristine field. And people are like, you can do it. Do you not understand how ticks exist?
I've never seen this, but you're in different Facebook groups.
I'm in different everything than Amanda.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. That seems like more of a me thing.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I do get more ticks than you.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Because I spend time in fields, and I take a lot of precautions. I can't even imagine laying naked in the middle of, like, what looks like it should have been mowed for hay in the middle of summer.
It's for the aesthetic. And also,
you would be covered in ticks.
You could not.
Do they not have ticks
you
in
could
a,
not
jolly old
smell
England?
The DEET. It wasn't smell-o-vision.
Oh, man. No. So many ticks.
Anywho, so some Tumblr and TikTok visuals happen, and, like, big ol' close-ups of guys' faces.
It's very
all
pretty.
It's
like
very gorgeous.
The movie is shot with, like, an Instagram aesthetic in
it's
mind.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. So they just are doing that, and
they while the summer away, and then some, like, class tensions happen.
Marginally, I mean, Oliver was always kind of bizarrely attuned to how to behave. Which was actually what led me to go, this is something different.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I was just waiting for the murder to happen at any point, because the trailer I saw had major, like, nah, people gonna die vibes.
Yeah, and I was like, maybe a murder will happen. I feel like a murder might be appropriate in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no, like, is there or isn't there going to be a murder?
Yeah, the movie turned out totally different than you expected and totally different than I expected. Like, I thought Bella Swan, Oliver, Quick, what a protagonist name, was going to be wooed in, like, tragedy.
Yeah, like a Great Gatsby.
Sure.
Scenario.
If I'd read that book.
Oh, my word.
Huh. So.
Homeschool for the win.
Hey! I've read about the movie.
Yeah, so he continues to ingratiate himself with the family with noticeably more skill at aristocratic mannerisms.
And then he starts putting notches in his bedpost.
And he's a dom.
Out of nowhere! And he's gonna cure bulimia by doming hard.
Yeah, and like, yeah, almost, again, that's kind of one of the dom memes, too.
Yeah!
Of like, you know, oh, abuse me, you're gonna take care of yourself. And they're like, no! Too much! Safe word!
Word! Well, and it's like, this guy... What a wild world he lives in. He's like, you know what? I'm walking into this situation and this is the role I've decided and I'm going to make it work. And the people involved are like, is this working? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's wild.
And I mean, he comes into that family as like, I am the alpha and starts just topping them.
Yes. Yes. Sister. Cousin.
Mother.
Towards the end, yeah. But, like, why not the dad? Why is dad left out? Like if you're going to have a body count, and I mean that in both senses, earn it.
He did. It wasn't sexual. He came at the dad with his superior deep-cut knowledge of historical ceramics.
That was more to ingratiate himself. Like, the real power move was out-politing the dad. But then he lost, because he took the check and left.
Yeah, but that was what he did to woo the dad. That was his seduction of the dad.
But we have no way of knowing how and or if he was involved in the dad's demise.
No, there's plot holes everywhere, and that you will find that in all of the reviews. There's just...
Because there's four rocks. Because he also steals their...
Oh, there's a rock thing. We forgot to mention the rock thing.
You throw a rock in the water...
With their name on it.
To let go of a recently deceased loved one.
Yes.
Which makes the dad's rock at the beginning for his dead dad, who's not dead and not mean.
Yeah, because it turns out his parents don't have an addiction problem and his dad isn't dead.
And they're middle class.
Yeah, and Felix finds him out.
Which is hilarious. The guy is sitting on a sofa in a living room of people being polite. His parents and his, like, victim just being polite to each other. And he's losing his mind.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, the dynamic, because... Felix has a very alpha male presence.
Because he's rich.
And
he's liked.
And Oliver is definitely way more domineering than he's letting on to Felix.
He's doming from the bottom, socially.
He's a power bottom. He's a social power bottom.
He's a social power bottom. But it turns out he was actually a switch.
Yeah.
Plot twist.
And it's just
this movie's stupid.
Again, more fun to watch if you don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But you know, still results may vary.
Yes, 100%. Oh my goodness.
So, you know, Felix finds him out and is going to throw him out of the house.
But they have to have his birthday party first.
Oh, he's managed to frame Trolley for trying to, like, sell some of the family's precious antiques at Sotheby's.
Which, there's, like, a second long cut where you see Oliver flipping through a book on the mansion.
Yeah.
Like the visitor's guide. Because he's doing his research.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Furley's been thrown out. And he goes to this party. And Felix won't talk to him anymore. Because Felix has found him out with his parents being nice. And it's a birthday party for Oliver, but nobody knows who he is. Because he can't even remember his name when singing.
Because he doesn't have any friends. Because he's been a socially isolated little freak boy his entire life.
Yeah. And Furley's at the party. And Oliver's like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? And he lets him in on the secret that is like, you're here for a summer.
I'm here forever.
This is my home.
These are
my
people.
I'll always be invited.
They're
going
to be mean to me, but I'm rich, baby.
Yeah. Like, you're just an interloper.
Mm-hmm.
And like the sister calls him a serf towards the end.
Yeah. And there's a whole race thing that's touched for a microsecond.
Yeah.
Which, like, you're watching and you're like, huh, there's a race thing here. And then they touch on it and it's like, ha. And then nothing happens.
Yeah. And I didn't even, like, notice the race thing.
Oh, I clocked it.
Yeah, I mean, different. Like, I finally did notice the race thing, but it took me a while into the very ham-handed, it's a race thing. Mm-hmm. Portion of the movie.
But then it's undercut later at the end when Oliver's getting kicked out and you see all the rest of the wait staff and house people and it's a smorgasbord.
I didn't notice.
Oh yeah. No. It's not like, oh yeah, Oliver footmen are black. It's like those two footmen are black and everyone else is like generous proportions of different.
Well, and he was gotcha-ing him on not knowing the name of his footman, which I thought was a class thing. But then it became clear that it was a race thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it was never clear whether it was either. I mean, it was one of them.
Or both.
Or both.
Or both.
But it like never cleared up.
But like there's a whole horde of people running that house that you see for one scene briefly and it's like, nah, they're not just hiring black people.
And the presence of the house staff was almost creating a horror tension.
Yeah.
Of like the poor kid not knowing what to do, and they were like really politely hostile to him. Mm-hmm. In a way that was just very stress inducing.
Mm-hmm.
But not for him. He wasn't feeling the stress.
He's not a normie. He's got broken head.
Yeah. So.
Oh, one last thing on the house staff and plot twists. Or plot holes, excuse me. Is when Oliver, at some point in this 2.5 hour long movie, wraps his hand in the cloth. Real dramatic style, and then breaks the mirror in his room.
Yes.
And then the next morning, the mirror is replaced as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah, it definitely had a creepy vibe to it. The house stuff.
There's something sinister
in this
house.
Creepy.
But it turns out the sinister was from outside the house. All these rich people just have normal people problems and emotions and things. And it's this interloper. Who's really the weevil in the flower.
Yeah. Yeah. So the party goes on.
Mm-hmm.
There's
an amazing statue. The house, the settings were gorgeous. Like,
and Oliver spends the entire night trying to talk to Felix to try to get him to love him again. Love, maybe. It's very strange.
Yeah. Some possessions are friendship. I mean, some friendships are possessive.
Yeah, it was very unclear.
So Oliver finally tracks Felix down and briefly watches Felix have sex yet again. But this time he decides to speak up.
And just say, we need to talk.
And then Felix is like, no!
What's wrong with you?
Leave me alone!
Can't you see I'm busy?
You're scaring me!
Yeah. And then it cuts to the next morning. Oliver wakes up in bed and everybody's frantically searching for Felix.
And he wakes up in bed happy. And then he's like, oh, things are happening. I better check this out.
Yeah. And they find Felix dead. And
again, gorgeously framed.
Yeah. And the house is completely bizarre after the death of Felix.
Yes.
They're just... They're
the facade.
Trying to like stiff up her lip through it in this very aristocratic fashion.
They're like, say something about you Americans and your emotions.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I guess we better call the police. It is lunchtime.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, Oliver sits there in the middle of the morning.
Plays it perfect.
And, you know, says exactly what needs to be said to distract the family and keep their facade up.
Mm-hmm.
And
the cousin gets exiled because he did coke at the Big Bash.
Yeah.
Like, they've been having a sex summer all year at your house, which they do every year at your house. And you're like, coke in my laundry room? No.
Like, yeah.
Like, it was what?
And you're just lucky I haven't called the authorities.
Yeah.
And I mean, the authorities were outside. Like, they shut
with the loudest gurney in the world.
They shut the windows to roll the stretcher by the dining room
windows.
With the
body, because there's no other route.
Yeah. And
it's deliciously dramatic.
Yeah. Then they have a funeral, and the funeral is...
I just remembered what happens after the funeral.
Weird. And very pretty.
Oh.
Very pretty.
The storm clouds.
So aesthetic the whole way through. But then after the funeral is over, Oliver goes and stands before the grave of Felix and is like kind of doing a mourner's hair-wrenching type of thing. And then he takes his shirt off.
To get closer.
And he lays on the top of the freshly filled grave. And then he takes his pants off and starts going at it.
It's very Byronic.
And, whoa.
Yeah, and it keeps going.
Yeah, like, and there is a lot of ass.
It's fine. Like, kudos to the actor, Sir What's-His-Name. I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna be on screen, have a body like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's on screen some more later. But, honestly, you know what I was reminded of watching that scene? You haven't seen The Lighthouse.
I have not.
Okay, so it's also the same aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Right? It's all black and white. Very gorgeous cinematography. And the...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that because I haven't gotten around to it. So don't, like...
Well, there's sex in the movie.
What?
I know. And it's more fantastical, but it's similarly like, oh boy, you're too horny to function. And so I was like comparing the two
well,
in my
see,
head.
Well, see, by the end of the movie, though, and even a little bit while it was happening, it was unclear if he was like making love to his lost romance or if he was like desecrating a grave.
Why can't be both?
You know, I think by the end it's clear that he was just desecrating a grave.
I don't think he's reliable.
I don't entirely believe that we were getting his perspective.
Yeah, but like I don't know. I've watched half of Hannibal. And I'm like, the serial killing with the sexual aspect, like the ownership or whatever, and like the theater of it. Like, why can't be both?
I guess so.
I own you sexually, the movie.
Anywho, the rest of the family's in mourning, and it's definitely starting to be weird that
he's
Oliver's
still
there. The sister starts to take note that, like, it's not really right for him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of almost seduces the sister, maybe killed her. I don't know. She's dead the next morning.
She's dead the next morning.
Yeah, the part of the plot holes is that it's really unclear if Oliver was actually murdering these people. Except for the very end. With the mom.
Well, mom and he poisoned Felix. He put something in the guy's alcohol.
I didn't even see that.
It, again, really quick cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she's dead. He's dead. Another funeral. He's not leaving the house still.
Yeah.
And the dad is like, what's it going to take to make you leave? And he's like, well, your wife's just so distraught, and I feel like I'm giving her comfort. And I agree with you that I should leave, but I just don't feel right doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy pays him to leave, basically.
Mm-hmm. So he buys a better wardrobe, and then some undefined time later, dear daddy's dead.
And he runs into mother dearest
in a contrived
coffee shop.
Meet cute, like, oh, I didn't know you'd be here.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't my shirt so nice?
Come back with me to Saltburn. And then she's on her deathbed with a ventilator for some unforeseen illness.
Poisoned.
Probably.
Yes.
And he removes her ventilator.
Not before putting his cigarette out on her leg.
Yeah. He's bad.
Yes.
And then, you know, through all of this, he has... presumably the relationship with the mom lasts long enough for the estate to be left to him.
Yeah.
So it ends with him waking up in what is now his giant mansion, dancing gleefully naked
and checking
through all the rooms.
And checking himself out in every mirror.
Absolutely hilarious.
Wonderful.
Joyful.
Yes. It's giving big Die Hard 3 vibes.
I honestly was like, that scene there, I was like, oh, maybe I really liked this movie.
Right? Like, sometimes you root for the little sick freak guy.
And the intention was that you did. Yeah. So, all right.
And then the rocks. He's swum into the river, presumably, after every one of these funerals to get the dead person's name rock out. And he's got a little collection of four lined up. And then the movie's over.
Yes.
So, like, the four people, presumably his body count, right? It's Felix, it's the sister, mom for sure, dad?
Unclear.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that first, like, a lot of people have said, too, that this movie was very predictable, and it tricks you into thinking it's predictable. I think is what it is. Because as the story unfolds, you can see the next chapter.
Yes.
But you're not...
It's not the story you think you're getting based on the cover.
Yeah. And it does progress in a way that you can see the next page.
It's unraveling as you go.
Right. So you are seeing, like, nothing is really a surprise, but at the same time, none of it is what you thought was going to happen.
Yep.
But one of the, like, most, like, the thought that popped in my head, they show up at this mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, Felix is showing Oliver around the grounds, I mean, not the grounds, the rooms in the house, mm-hmm. and through the window says, oh, and there's the hedge maze. And the first immediate thing that pops into my head is, oh, Chekhov's hedge maze.
Someone's gonna die in that maze.
Some dramatic event is going to happen in the maze. Like, yeah. You don't have a hedge maze without some romantic chase scene or a scary being attacked scene. Or Voldemort shows up and kills Cedric Diggory.
I was always rooting for Dracula-style tragic, horrible romance.
Yeah.
Right? So it was like, I wanted someone to die in that maze.
But yeah, I thought it was very funny that he does die. Felix dies in the maze, mm-hmm. and it's like, ah, yes.
That's
Chekhov
where
had a greater hand in the maze than I anticipated.
That's where the death should happen.
Yeah. But, like,
second only, no, the thing that comes second to it is the bathtub, which had many a little death before that. So, people who get that reference will appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey.
Anywho.
Uncomfortable.
It's the movie.
Yeah. The reviews on it are wild. And I think where I've landed on this movie is just trying to get what people have taken away from it. And it's basically, that's pretty.
Yeah.
Or, I hate it. No further justification needed.
I've seen some comments briefly in my perusing of like, yeah, actually, mixed bag, like, political interpretation and stuff, which makes sense given her previous film, which is Promising Young Woman. Haven't seen it, have heard about it, and seen reviews of it.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess people were like, not sure how the politics line up in this movie. And some people felt vindicated with Saltburn of director, writer should maybe not make movies touching on political things like class or rape.
Yeah. And I did see a lot of like, it's mixed. It's like, I didn't feel mixed about the class statements there.
I mean, on its face, it's people who are poorer than you might be interesting and pretty and you might feel bad for them. But also, if you're very unlucky, they'll kill you and take your house.
See, what I saw was just the sheer absurdity that the class system still exists.
Yeah.
That's what I was interpreting from it. And from what I've read, that might not be what she intended.
Well, if you're taking it as a vampire story, right? Which they specifically...
I'm not.
I am. They specifically call it out at one point. Usually the vampires are like the rich feeding off of the masses, and in this case the vampire came from outside the house.
Like, this is just not even on the same level of what I took class wise from it.
Yeah,
completely different entry point.
Yeah, it fails as a vampire story, but fun to watch.
So I just thought it was interesting that they juxtaposed a very ostentatious setting. And, you know, they're doing karaoke in a grand room to, like, Flo Rida.
Yeah.
And the absurdity of that kind of wealth in the modern age.
Yeah.
Was what I was taking away from it. That this is absurd. They are old world in a way that, why does this exist? Mm-hmm. Why is this, like, it just bizarre.
So, speaking of, though, there are people who do own that house, call it a house, and it's the first time it's ever been filmed in. Like, I guess as part of production, they had to keep the owners anonymous. And the location anonymous. Because there are people who own that place.
Well, yeah. That's the same with the house they filmed Downton Abbey in.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's a real house. That's really still got a lord and lady living in it.
Dang.
Yeah. And... They were actually on an episode of Top Gear one time. Which, yes, I do watch Top Gear. And, yes, I do understand that that's problematic. Used to watch Top Gear.
okay.
Before the Jeremy Clarkson stuff.
Yeah.
But they brought that fam... Like, they did a piece on that family with the, like, what kind of car do inherited money landed gentry folks drive? Mm-hmm. And the answer was a Subaru.
Yeah.
They're like, everything else they've inherited, like, they don't often have to spend money on things. And, you know, my guess is they've probably got more than a Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
top according of the line Subaru.
No.
Okay.
No, it was just a gallivanting about the property Subaru, which I guess that's the best off-roading you get in Britain. I don't know.
Yeah. See, when I picture people living in that kind of house, quote unquote,
It's not quote unquote. They really live in it as
no,
their house.
I'm talking like, but like, many would call it an estate or a mansion or something, right? Like, house is like calling the Titanic a boat.
Yeah.
But like, trying to picture someone who I wouldn't be like mad at. Best I'm coming up with is Enya. It's like,
that's because she lives alone with her cats in her castle.
I
and
know.
Everybody's like, oh, yeah,
it's
Enya.
It's different when it's Enya.
Well, and I don't know enough about Enya to say this with any certainty, but people also have a different feeling about it when they've just made a lot of money off of the work that they did. And a lot of times when we see people very wealthy off the work that they do, it's because they're musicians, athletes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's the you know, anyone can make it, live the dream, achieve the dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of us don't begrudge someone, you know, like, people aren't terribly upset that, like, Freddie Mercury had a nice house.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, I don't want to say Taylor Swift because that's different for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, but then that's...
But it's still more on this, like, oh, if you're going to like a billionaire, it's Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, justifiably, no, don't like a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. She actually, like, did something.
Continues to do something.
Yeah.
That takes hours and effort and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
like,
work.
It's definitely still excessive in the way it plays out, but...
It's glamorous, but it is work.
Yeah, and it's not, more specifically, this whole thing where, like, the millennials are set to be the wealthiest generation in history.
All two of us.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, like, five people are inheriting hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they're like, your whole generation's doing swell.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
You finally stopped eating that avocado toast, we see.
Money made up, but look how big the number.
And you know, if you just put these five people in the context of your entire generation... You all have so much money.
If you all have diamond money or oil money or old world connections or, you know.
Yeah. So to me, the absurdity of that inherited wealth was just what smacked me front, like, right in the face. Like,
why can't be both?
Both what?
Both interpretations.
What other, like, what?
Bad vampire. Wealth is ridiculous.
Okay. Sure, everyone is correct about this film.
Yes! Yes! Like, you can take multiple avenues of interpretation that may, like, contradict each other, but, like, each interpretation has, like, building points, you
but
know?
That's why, looking at the reviews, like, that is not... the takeaway I saw from a lot of people.
Mm.
Like, I don't think I saw my perspective represented in the reviews that I read.
Well, it's okay for the wealthy class to lean down to, like, watch Superbad or sing bad karaoke in their mansion. The point of conflict was when someone not wealthy class tried to go up, right? Like, you need a dinner jacket. Your tuxedo doesn't fit right. You don't know how to order breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess this is where it comes to, like, the politics of the class structure just falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you do get the impression that maybe he was pretending to not know the structure of things, because he certainly understood every other aspect of ingratiating himself with these people.
He might have read about it somewhere, but like he probably didn't have a sideboard breakfast thing going on in his like parents' house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But like then what do you say about that? Like what was that saying? It wasn't saying
It doesn't say much.
Anything.
It's like what if one guy comes in and he's bad?
And then like there were people that noticed that like the gleeful naked dancing at the end was a very eat the rich sort of thing.
No, it's look at my kill.
A lot of people would call that eat the rich. Because he just killed an entire rich family.
Yeah, sure. But like...
Yeah.
For the challenge, not... You know what I mean?
Unclear.
Yeah.
But either way, I think part of the reason that his gleeful dancing was so like, oh, okay, all right, I can get behind this, was because he had just eaten the rich. And I was like, ah, yes, you have. But a lot of people were like, oh, but those poor rich people, because they just... weren't villainy enough.
Because the vampire story doesn't work when the vampire isn't rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Oh no, he's preying on the people who have everything.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yeah, but some people still went, oh no, those poor people who had everything.
I know, which is like weird.
Yeah, so...
Because the movie is going out of its way to portray them as victims. Because they were victims in that they were manipulated and killed, right?
Technicalities, I guess.
Like, the story is structured for them to be sympathized with.
Well, but it is stated that she was trying to get you to sympathize with Oliver.
So, not entirely effective.
Aesthetic. Yeah. Very aesthetic.
Yeah. It's sort of like, wouldn't it be neat if twist? And it's like, okay, sure, it's got novelty, but...
Okay. All right. And I think maybe just the way the conversation's gone so far, I think one of the other glaring points is that I didn't know much about the movie. But what I had heard was like epic gay tale.
Nah.
And you were also like, ah, it's a dark gothic thing, but gay.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of chatter before the movie was just very much talking about the fact that it was a very gay movie.
Which, again, goes with the vampire thing, because they're equal opportunity killers and sexers, right?
Yeah, like, sort of, but also we haven't even brought up the gay thing, really.
Because it's not really about that. Which is weird.
Right. Right. It's not a like gay love story.
No, it's...
It's going to be. It's obsession. It looks like it's going to be.
It's obsession, maybe. And I own you and your grave. And your rock.
Yeah.
I own it now.
And so I saw a lot of people complaining about how it was not doing a good job of, like, being a gay story. But I do feel like the imagery was satisfying to someone who had a male-oriented gaze.
It would be. 100%. It was very softcore for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lay in this grass and glisten and toss my hair back and forth.
So, like, and again, but that's about all you can say about it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, like,
it doesn't count when he's a serial killer.
I mean, I don't know. Like, where does it fit on the trope that, like, gay relationships end in tragedy? In film, sorry.
Well, if one part of the gay quote-unquote relationship survives to dance naked through the house, it's not quite the same as just bury your gaze.
Maybe. I mean, but if it's from Felix's perspective, that relationship sure turned out poor.
Yeah, but also, it doesn't seem like he did more than tease.
Felix?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it's also Trolley's.
Trolley? I don't know what that was, and neither did he. He was like, no! No? What's happening? Which was a question I was asking. And it was very funny to see that mirrored in a character. Usually I don't relate whatsoever to people on screen, but in that moment we were both thinking the same thing, which is, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it
gay if you have sex with another guy if you didn't initiate it and you were just sort of confused? And it was late at night. And honestly, who's to say?
Bizarre.
Yes.
Bizarre.
Because, like, vampires just do that to you, man. They lure you in with their thrall.
Yes.
They dom you out of nowhere. Like, it's a vampire story. It's not working.
It was a fun watch.
Yeah.
But, like, almost empty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed it. It's not... It's pretty. It's pretty.
And almost its complete lack of like, committing to any one thing was kind of what made it interesting.
It's like, why aren't they going harder?
Oh, like, too hard! Too hard!
In other ways! In other places! Less of that! More of this. Well, that's the other thing, too, is we are so much more comfortable with violence than, like, weird sex.
Yeah, but they were deliberately bringing...
They were leaning into it hard. Like, yeah. They weren't going for erotic. It was more like, he thinks it's erotic.
Yeah.
But also, that's how I watch most movies. It's like, yeah, you think that's erotic.
So, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was like,
It's like, you're thirsty. Slurp, slurp, slurp.
Yeah, but also, like, they could have done some, like, good sex scenes that would have been thirstier.
They didn't.
And, like, there were a lot of pretty men in that movie.
Yeah. Well, and, like, thinking of it as, like, a gay movie, more air quotes, like, the only man-on-man action is confused.
Yeah.
It's Trolley.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just desire and creep factor.
Yes. Yes. And they could have played it with the desire thing. I mean, they could have gone that Pride and Prejudice route of like, oh, we're pining.
So
we
close.
Spend our summer pining.
We have to be closeted because it's the 2000s and we're European and rich. But no.
I guess so. I mean, at that time, Europe was already legalizing same-sex
marriage.
But that
wasn't the movie.
Yeah, there was no statement made at all.
Yeah, it's like, gee, wouldn't it be bad if a serial killer showed up and decided that you were their favorite?
And, like, they deliberately confused the time period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with stuff like it's 2006, but it opens with a hymnal singing of God Save the King.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
Oops.
It wasn't an oops. They were trying to disorient you to time.
I missed it entirely. I'm a visuals person. You're a music person.
Oh, yeah. Like, immediately when the movie started, I was like, why would they be playing God Save the King?
Yeah, that's weird.
You know.
Maybe they're not allowed to play God Save the Queen anymore.
That's what I thought, by but law. I looked it up.
By law.
It's not.
It would be a silly law.
But they clearly do silly things. Yes. When the aristocracy is involved.
Yes.
Don't, like, huh?
Yeah.
But they did do the, like, the response to the death of their child and, like, well, we better have lunch, does kind of mirror, like, the drama that's been going on the last few weeks with the royal family.
Oh.
Kate Middleton has not been seen since before Christmas. And they just...
I've seen stuff, like, floating around and just haven't clicked on it. Of, like, Photoshop?
Yeah, and it was Photoshopped.
It was.
Mm. Yeah. And it was like, oh, she had a procedure and she's recovering from it.
She's dead.
No, they did announce, I think, today or yesterday.
She had a mental break.
She has cancer.
Oh.
So they've been just, she's undergoing chemo.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, sure. We'll be sad about it. But
I'm not, but like.
But like, the whole, you know.
Let her have cancer.
How like, much they did to hide it. Like
it's okay to have cancer.
They're like, not even like, is she like almost dead kind of cancer? Or like,
she's not even king.
Be normal.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's
be
like,
be normal a little bit. Yeah. Be a little bit normal.
People have cancer all the time.
Yeah. And like, hiding it just makes you look creepy.
Yeah.
Like, but they did portray that aspect.
Sure.
Of like, whatever. We're going to pretend that everything's fine and we're going to have lunch.
Have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
Yes.
Okay. End of that question.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Sometimes melodrama is just so good.
I guess. Sure.
I loved that scene. Trolley breaks down like a 6-year-old in his PJs who just had a nightmare. Like, he just wants a hug, but he gets ousted for doing coke of all things.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, when Venetia, the sister, cousin, girlfriend, who knows, is pouring the wine and then spills all the wine, and then she's drinking the wine and spills all the wine, and they can't get the curtains closed. Delicious.
Yeah, but I'll say this, like, in trying to unpack this film, its lack of substance becomes so apparent.
It's popcorn.
Yeah. And it's visually stunning.
Yeah.
But, like, mm-hmm. What?
I've seen equally explicit slideshows that had more intellectual interest.
Well, and it really comes off as like a movie made of memes.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have an Eat the Rich theme.
No.
But it ends with an Eat the Rich scene. And that's a meme.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very stylized.
Yeah.
It's very stylized.
And like, who wrote this? A tick?
Bloodsucker.
Eat the Rich.
Bloodsucker. Again, vampires.
Yeah. The whole, one of the scenes that was supposed to be sexy, I guess, but offensive.
Wait, offensive and sexy? No.
Was, he seduces the sister and she's like, oh, not now. It's the wrong time of the month.
And he's like, I'm a vampire.
Yeah. And goes down on her.
And like, then makes her have some too.
That was also like,
there's a lot of mouth stuff.
That's a joke I remember from the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. It was like someone is getting frisky in the backseat of their car and the girl is bleeding and like they get pulled over. Like the police come and like tap on the window like old school style. like, what are y'all doing? And they're like, eating pizza.
Yeah.
And lick their fingers.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
that's a really funny joke.
Well, it wasn't. I never thought it was funny, and I didn't really try to tell it.
No setup, no punchline.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like the joke, okay? Yeah, it's not but very I was good. Watching that, and I was like, oh, the stupid pizza joke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, even that was, like, a pre-meme meme in yeah. my mind, you know?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the comments I was seeing was like, yeah, so seems like a lot of people just don't have a lot of sex. Genuinely, I was seeing those kinds of comments.
I saw one that said, the nursing home down your street is friskier than this movie.
Right! Like, it was played so, and part of it was just the way it was framed, right? It was not framed erotically very much.
No.
And, like, the stuff that happened wasn't really all that extreme. It just wasn't tantalizing.
No.
Like,
no.
The movie falls short in weird places.
Yes. Yes. But it entertains.
It entertains for sure.
And is that really enough?
Yeah.
Not on this podcast. Shut up.
I mean, no.
That's right. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, sir. Like, like, that's sort of what the movie did.
Yeah.
Say no. No? Like, I guess we're in a scene now. What?
Yeah, no, it's not. It.
Confusion also isn't that sexy.
I know. Like, I finished watching it and, like, I have a feeling about this. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fun to talk about.
Yeah, but you almost can't, like, hard to talk about.
It's very surface.
It's hard to talk about because there's just not a lot there.
You can't dig but when there's imagery. No depth.
It's imagery.
You can fondle the surface, though.
No. Too soon. Too soon.
Okay. You got an Ubrick?
Yeah. Hey. Hey.
What was that author's name? Need
subtitles for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do want to remind everyone that we're professionals.
Don't watch these at home.